here we are again. Am I on? Yeah, I am on. Another Sunday has passed, another week has passed, and I hope we take opportunity this evening to listen to the words our brother has prepared for us, my neighbor, and I'm thankful for his zealousness about the gospel and his excitement about serving the Lord, and I'd ask you to give him your attention this evening. Brother Adam.
I do. My prop is not as dangerous as yours this morning. Good evening. I want to welcome each one of you here. All of you who are on live streaming, I want to welcome you here. I know we have many of our people who are sick tonight, and trust that they're taking advantage of live stream. And those of you who live elsewhere and are isolated, I want to welcome you here. And with the hope and the desire that the Lord will pour out His Spirit upon you and the message that's on my heart today. Before I begin to present this message, we were in song service. Someone, I think it was Dan, called for the song 253, Sweet the Time. And I remember Kim having a testimony about that song when she lived in Michigan. And you know, I have found recently that the Lord is kind of chasing my heart that I consider the opportunity to be with my brothers and sisters to be far more sweet than I had been. I've made a change in my life on Sundays. You know, it used to be, I still work this horrendous night shift, and, you know, I'm always tired, and what I had done for several years with my children is we'd finish eating lunch on Sunday, I'd take them home and we'd all have a nap. And I'd come back here somewhere around 5 o'clock to end the day. And, you know, I just kind of felt the Lord telling me that, you know, I need to be spending my time better. The time that we have to be together is sweet. It is good to be together. We need to be together. And this isn't necessarily what my sermon is about, but I just felt so impressed as we sang that song. And I remembered, I don't remember all the specifics of the experience that Kim had, but I remember that it was something along that it's good to be together. And when we find ourselves, especially in time of need or when we have questions or things, you know, it's good to be together. We have such an advantage in the household of Christ. And I realize as I say that listening right now and watching me on their computers or whatever are people who are isolated. And so the physical closeness you don't necessarily have, and I'm sorry for that. But I know that when we reach out, when we send a text message to someone, when we put our name on the CCEG, we put it on the Facebook things that we have, and people lift you up, you feel that. You can feel that closeness and that togetherness. The Lord in His wisdom called us together. And I found, as I've been sitting here, I was telling Rebecca today, you know, so I haven't been going home on Sunday afternoons. I've been dragging my kid back in the nursery, and we try to take a nap together, and then I come out and I'll study or I'll read or all that. It does get a little bit lonely. It's usually only the ladies there, and they're not always too keen on me interrupting their conversation. But the time to be together, it's sweet, and it's good. And we need to consider that. What do we consider this day to be? What do we consider our time to be? Are we taking advantage of the moment that we have to be together? None of that is what I'm going to preach about. Only something that was on my heart. I want to begin in the 33rd Psalm. And I will tell you the thoughts that the Lord placed on my heart that we're going to talk about today on Wednesday. I've told you over the past, it's been going on now for 3 months. I have this trial going on at work, and it has not finished. And it seems to ebb and flow. And earlier this week, why it began to grow again. And my wife and I had decided ahead of time this week that we were going to fast on Wednesday. And I ended up, because of some circumstances, taking Wednesday off. And you know, what a good day. What a good day it was. To spend the day calling out to the Lord. I woke up. I had worked the night before, and so I tried not to sleep too late. I got up probably 10 o'clock or so and walked out into my living room. And Sister Amy Moser was there with my wife, and they let me impose on their conversation, and we all prayed together. And as we were praying, and as I was kneeling there, and I was listening to the prayers that were being offered, someone, and I don't remember if it was Amy or it was my wife, but had mentioned this thing that we're going to talk about tonight, about waiting on the Lord. And as that prayer was offered and those things were said, you know, the Lord interjected so clearly into my mind this question: what does it mean to wait? And I know in some aspects I preached this sermon before, but I believe that as I looked at some things this past week, that the Lord helped me to understand a little bit more what it truly means to wait on Him and how we can do it. And it's not just something that is done absently or you know, really one of the big things I see is without experience. And so I want to consider that tonight. And you know, I want to consider this. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of my thoughts lately and several of my past sermons have dealt with this topic of dealing with our struggles. And some of that is due to some of the things that are going on in my life, but I'll tell you, several of my sermons were before any struggle came up. And I look back and I consider, you know, last week Aaron preached a sermon, Life Happens. What do we do when life happens? And a couple weeks ago, Stephen terrified us with 3 minutes of silence here to talk to us about patience. Patience in adversity, patience in our life, patience with the Lord, and numerous other sermons that we've been given. And so what is it that the Lord is doing? What is it that He's preparing us for? What is He calling us to? You know, the understanding that you know, and we were having this conversation the other day as we're talking with Amy, you know, my wife and I, and, you know, we're discussing the troubles that many of our loved ones are facing. And, you know, there's a handful of people, maybe 10 or so, that I've been praying diligently for, that I know of struggles that are going on in their life. And, you know, each one of them, varying degrees probably of difficulty, some spiritual, some physical, jobs, things like that, you know. And Amy made the comment, you know, every one of them is a great burden. Every one of them is heavy. And I think sometimes we find ourselves, you know, we come to a prayer service and maybe we're reluctant sometimes to raise our hand and to ask for prayers because, well, you know, so-and-so's got a far worse problem than I do. And yet every challenge we have with it brings the opportunity for blessing or oftentimes for Satan to interject doubt, fear, concern, anxiety, some of these struggles in there. But every struggle that we face is important. And there's some things I feel like the Lord's put on my heart, and we've heard told recently that I want us to consider today. You know, and the reality is this, is that we are born into trouble. We were, yesterday, we decided that we wanted to go for a hike, and we wanted to go someplace different. And so Becca and I, we took our kids, and we went out on this hike, and I was noticing this, you know, as my daughter, we made her walk the whole thing, you know, and it's getting a little bit later. It's getting close to noon. It was 90-something degrees yesterday, so it did get warm. And we've been going for a while, and you know, and we're going back where theoretically we should be going downhill. But we weren't. There were parts of it we were going down, and then we had these climbs, and then we had these plateaus where it would level off. And you know, I recognized that as I walked. You know, this is what life is like. Sometimes we get to coast downhill and life is good. Or we seem to have great energy and things are going well. Sometimes, you know, we end up finding ourselves climbing these steep trials and difficulties, whatever they are, whatever they look like. Cancer, job issues, stress within your family. We find ourselves putting out all this energy and effort. And then we find ourselves on these level plateaus where we get to gain our rest. But you know, oftentimes there's going to be another one. We're going to continue. That's what it was like, you know, as we're we get around some corner here, and Grace is, she's ready to be done, and Rebecca says, look, you can see the parking lot. And sure, we could see the parking lot, but between there and the parking lot, this trail curved around the mountain and down and up and on a flat and down and curved again. We weren't quite there. There was still things yet to come. And this seems to me to be the way of life. And we can lament that fact, or we can begin to understand that we're born into trouble and trial, but the Lord has promised that He'll be with us. And there's this thing that we find throughout Scripture, and I've like I said, we read about it, and I want to just consider this some more today of what it means to wait on the Lord. So we're in Psalm, the 33rd Psalm, and I'm going to read verses 16 to 22. And it says this, "There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." I want to stop for a second and just tell you, last night, Joel and I went and we visited and we administered to Abby's husband, James. He suffered a stroke. And his entire right side is paralyzed. And, as we're talking there, he's in distress. And my heart goes out to him. He feels trapped. And as we're sitting there, he's trying every effort he can to try to move, his arm. He says, "I just can't do it. Every strength I have, I've spent my whole life, being able to do things and lift things. And I cannot lift this." And, I found that in my life, that there are oftentimes these things that come about. This has been my prayer. And my wife will attest to this, is that the Lord helps me to be able to wait on Him and to be faithful in those things that I have no control over. There are all these challenges that we face that it doesn't matter, we cannot do anything about it. And for all of us, that's the biggest frustration. James was just, I pray for his peace, because he could not change what was going on. And I look at my life and I can't change the things that are going on. But Rebecca and I were sitting down the other day and we were counting our blessings and we were talking about things. And I remembered this time in my life where I was in a great trial, probably the second greatest trial I've ever been in, second only to this one. And it was a trial in which I tried to do everything in my own strength to fix and to manipulate and all that, with no success, with only making it worse. And only when I was able to let it go and give it to the Lord, and I'm going to get to us talking about to wait on the Lord. In a matter of 2 or 3 months, I had a career, I had a marriage, I had a house, I had a future that I felt like the Lord had shown me clearly when I learned to wait. We do not have the power or the strength to handle everything that comes before us. And I do believe that as we look, we look back in time and we consider these things. What was it, those ancient Christians, that they were crucified and fed to lions and all those things? There wasn't any fighting they could do. They couldn't fight that off. They had no control over those trials. And I don't hope or pray or desire any of those things to happen, but I do think that we will continue to see these challenges come before us that we will not have control over. How do we deal with these things? There's no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither can he deliver any by his great strength. Verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon him that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." We begin to see this picture materialize of what it is that the Lord is looking for from us. We find this scripture, and if we were to look in 1 Peter, we see it there as well. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. These things that we recognize, that when we're willing to obey the commandments of God, these things that it takes time and effort on our part to look and to consider the Lord's Word and to put it to use in our life. But when we do those things, His ears are open to us. He sees us. He hears us. He recognizes our difficulties. His eye is on those who fear Him, who have that respect and that regard for this God. I consider the psalm where David talks about this. What am I that You take note of me? This all-powerful being who able with no effort is able to see in the hearts and the minds of everyone who's ever been and ever will be. And yet He cares enough about me. Do we respect that? Are we considering this Lord that we love and upon them that hope in His mercy? And as we consider this today, this word hope is essential in this attribute of being able to wait on the Lord. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. We're going to talk about and we're going to look at some definition here of this word waiteth. But there's another scripture that we all often tie to, and it's a beautiful scripture, and it uses this word wait, and it's something for us to consider as well. And many of you probably know it, Isaiah the 40th chapter. A very familiar scripture. Verses 28 to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. You know, in this fearing of the Lord, it's recognizing this, that this everlasting God and all these things that He's done, you know, He's not wearied with us. He's not wearied in looking upon His children. He's not wearied by our struggles when we approach Him. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, there's that word, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know that I'm a guy who I like to define things. And you know, as I look, you know, we compare these two scriptures here in Psalm where it talks about this, you know, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. And we look here in Isaiah and it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, it's two different words with a similar thought. But to me, as I look at this word in Psalm, it gives me an even better understanding. Isaiah chapter 40, that word wait, it means it's that Hebrew word to bind together, perhaps by twisting. And I know I've preached a sermon about that before. And we know that where we read in Scripture, you know, a threefold cord is not easily broken. You know, we take a rope and we put two or three of them together and they just become stronger. You know, and that we wrap ourselves, we bind together with the Lord. Something to think about when we consider what it means to wait. But you know, I want to concentrate today back here in Psalm in the 33rd chapter. Verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. And that word waiteth, as it's defined, it says through the idea of piercing, properly to adhere to, hence to await, to long or to tarry, to wait. And I found myself considering this. What does this necessarily mean? Why did they not use the same word? And is there something different? You know, for me, when I read this, it gave me a completely different idea of what the Lord is asking me to do or encouraging me to do when He wants me to wait on Him. So Andy had a prop this morning and I have a prop tonight. I have a couple props actually. And I want to give, this is, you know, kind of just what it is for me. I have a visual in my mind as I consider this. So I have a couple things here. I have a couple pieces of wood. There's nothing special about these pieces of wood. I just drug them out of my junk wood bin. And you know, one of these ways that we recognize that this word weight, you know, to bind together, to adhere to. And so I need, let me get, Jeremiah, you're pretty strong. Come here. You know, I take this tape and I put these together, would we all agree that these are adhered together? They're together, right? I got tape and they're together. Can you tear those apart? Work it out. All right. I saw you the other day up on your roof helping your dad. That's probably why, roofing. You're pretty strong, okay? But now I want you to try it when I do this. Let's see here. Hopefully I do this without breaking anything, right? Oops. All right, strong man, tear those apart. Take it back to your seat and work on it. Let me know when you get it done. Those screws are sticking out a little bit on the backside, so don't hit your brother with it. Perhaps it's too simple of a visual here, but you know, I want us to think about that. You know, when I read this and it says, you know, that we wait on the Lord, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Waiteth. It's through the idea of piercing to adhere to. Piercing to adhere to. You know, it's not something, some simple. The Lord's not saying that, you know, you take some simple thing that just lightly attaches you to Him in your time of trial. No. It's through this idea of piercing, of coming together, going completely through and attaching to something else, is how we are to look through our trials and our difficulties. And what does that mean? If we are adhering ourselves to the Lord, if we're metaphorically taking a screw like that and it's going completely through me and it's adhering myself to the Savior, where He goes, I go. Where He goes, I go. The Lord is stronger than me. He's wiser than me. And so, as I'm adhered to them, I'm not the one who is able to direct the path that we go to. Where He goes, I go. I hope that's not too simple, and I hope that that's something that you think about as we look at this concept of dealing with struggles. Where the Lord goes, we go. We adhere ourselves to Him. And this is, I want you to begin to recognize this thought of how it is that we wait. And we're going to talk about some things in that. I want to just quickly just read this scripture, John 16:33. You don't even need to turn to it. Christ tells these people this. These things I've spoken unto you that in me, these things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We are going to continue to have tribulation. It will not stop. When this is finished in my life, I hope I get to hit a plateau for a while and maybe even a nice smooth downhill. But at some point, I'm going to have to start going up again. And when that happens, I better be getting out my drill and I better be getting out my screws and adhering myself to the Lord. Not easily torn apart like Jeremiah, the strong man, did when I first adhered them together, but put together. How do we do these things? You know, I want to turn to Mormon in the 4th chapter. And Andy read this morning. You know, this thought of adhering ourselves to the Lord, where He goes, we go, you know, it really is, it takes some effort on our part, and it takes the ability to let go. And I wish I could walk you through the process of that, but I struggle with that even today in my life. But I want to read here, verse 92 and 93, Mormon chapter 4, verse 92 and 93. Oh, then despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever you shall stand in need. You know, the first thing I want us to understand is that we have this avenue that we can put every need before the Lord. And, you know, in my prayer life, when I've come into struggles, you know, I ask the Lord to take it away. Can you deliver me? But I also ask that he looks at every aspect of what I need. You know, I didn't stand up on Wednesday, but I had felt to. But you know, it just I didn't. You know, I have a testimony I want to share here. That I feel that it was very important as I'm considering all these things. You know, I've been praying that the Lord will deliver me from the things that are going on at my work right now. It's difficult. And as of yet, it still has not happened. But the Lord continues to be faithful to me. And He's giving me the things that I stand in need of. And oftentimes, it's those things that I hadn't considered. I'd been struggling with some anxiety and with some stress over this particular issue. It was heavy upon me. And I'd asked several of my brothers to pray about it. You know, and my Uncle Joel, he was in Missouri, and he called me up one day, and he said, you know, I, The Lord told me I need to tell you this. And he told me, and he shared with me this situation that had happened, that my mother-in-law was struggling with anxiety and with fear about traveling to Mexico or Honduras. I don't remember which it was, but she was really struggling with it. And so she had asked the ministry to administer to her for it. And Joel had been asked to participate in this administration, and he was praying. And as he was praying, the Lord stopped him and told him that he needed to rebuke that spirit of anxiety, that weapon that Satan oftentimes uses. And he said, you know, I was considering this, and the Lord told me that I needed to tell you that you need to ask for administration, that the Lord will rebuke that spirit of anxiety. And so I fasted for a couple of days. I asked a few of my brothers, I asked Gordon and Brother Don if they would prepare themselves. And after a few days, we came together and they administered to me. And you know, as they were administering to me, I didn't even realize it as I walked into Gordon's house that day, but I recognized it as the ministry were performing this ordinance that God put in place, that we could be strengthened by it. As I felt, it was as if 1,000 pounds came off of me. I could feel it lifting off of me physically. The only thing I can liken it to, and not everybody will be able to understand this, Aaron will, you know, and Justin will and all that, you know, when we finish a day of work as a police officer or in all of our SWAT gear and all that, you know, and it's been hot and everything, and even though they do all this thing to make our bulletproof vest not as light as possible, there's a weight to it. When you finish your day and you take it off, it's like, oh, my shoulders feel it, my back, I can, you know, I can breathe and all that. I had this experience. The Lord saw what I needed, and He blessed me in my time of need. Despise not and wonder not, but hearken to the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for whatsoever thing you shall stand in need. And I'd add to that, believing that He will bless you according to your need. According to your need. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. You know, what I want to talk about first here is we're talking about this concept of how do we wait, is that we cannot enter in to our relationship, in any aspect of our relationship with the Lord, with doubts. We cannot. We need to be looking at His Word as a God who speaks in truth, who acts in truth. If we doubt that He is able to do something, you know, what is that? It's a lack of faith, and the Lord works with our faith. We must have faith. And so as you're looking at whatever difficulty may be now or be to come, you know, we can believe, we should believe, that as He's done in the past, He will do again. That as He's blessed us or others in the past, He can do again. And fight off that nagging doubt. Satan comes in to insert doubt into your heart and into your mind. You know, if we were to turn to Alma in the 26th chapter in the 103rd verse, you know, here Helaman is talking about those stripling soldiers, those young men who had gone to battle. And, you know, they'd gone to this battle, and none of them had been injured. And, you know, as he's talking about it, he says, well, they told me that they were taught that if they did not doubt, that they would be preserved. You know, we need to be cautious and concerned about this. And as you examine yourself in your time of trial and you begin to feel these nagging doubts come into your mind, I felt it and I know you have as well. When you feel these nagging doubts, recognize them for what they are. Satan is looking to get a foothold within you. Doubt not. If we've adhered ourselves to the Lord, we can go where He's going to go, and we have to trust that He knows what is best for us. That may mean an entire change of our life. It's what's best for us. I want to turn to 2 Nephi in the 3rd chapter. By the way, I don't intend on being long tonight. I've only got 2 more scriptures after this, so I don't feel that the Lord gave me a huge amount to share tonight, but just by way of reminder. And so this first reminder as it comes to how we continue to deal with difficulties, and not even that, just as you're waiting for things to materialize in your life, as you're waiting for, or you're praying about, or you're hoping for a new job to come, or you want the Lord to give you some direction or guidance, your house selling, or things like that, how do we wait? How do we do it? You know, we need to recognize that this important aspect of being able to wait on the Lord, to adhere ourselves to Him, is having faith that He can handle all these things. And we don't need a sermon tonight, nor do I need to go to all the common scriptures we know about faith. But you know, faith is that belief that the Lord is capable. The belief that He is able to. But what I want to really think about, and I want you guys to think about as you enter into struggles or times of waiting with the Lord, is what is this important thing about faith? I do believe it's looking back and recognizing what He's done for you in the past and believing that He's able to do it for you again. And, you know, that's one of those things that I, as my wife and I, we sit and we count our blessings, we're doing that. You know, remember that time? Remember that time when we prayed and the Lord answered? He did it before, and so I know He can do it again. Count your blessings. Look with faith. Here in 2 Nephi chapter 3, Nephi here, he begins this poetic expression and pouring out of his heart of all these things are going on. And you see, as he's looking through these things, verse 30, "Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord. My heart pondereth continually upon the things which I've seen and heard. Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord and showing me His great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, and my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of my iniquities. I'm encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me." Have you been there? I've been there. I've been there where Nephi's at, where I look and I say, how, you know, all these good things the Lord's done, and yet I am just weighed down by everything that's around me. But we see that Nephi shows us this example. "When I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins." You know, how is it sometimes that you know we have to be thankful. We know that we have to be willing to lift high the name of the Lord, but we feel so burdened. So struggling. Have you been there? I've been there. But here Nephi, he begins to tell us what it is that we have to do. "Nevertheless, I know in whom I've trusted. My God hath been my support." You know, when we're dealing with these things that we have no control over, God is the only one who can be our support. All we can do is look to Him. And as we face that new uphill climb, looking back and recognizing where He helped us in the last one, and that faith that helps us to know that He will bless us in the future if we continue to wait, adhere ourselves to Him. "He led me through my afflictions in the wilderness. He preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He filled me with His love, even unto the consuming of my flesh." Have you felt that? Have you been there? Or you've been burdened and struggling, and yet the Lord, He helps to reiterate to you, "I love you. I know you. I care for you. I have not forgotten you." Verse 51, "Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I might shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because my heart is broken, my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I might walk in the path of the low valley, and that I may be strict in the plain road? Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies?" You know, it's okay to ask for the Lord to deliver us. Are we asking Him? Are we looking for how He's willing to bless us through these things? "Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in thee. I will trust in thee forever. I'll not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee, yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. And behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen." You know, we see this example that Nephi, you know, and if we look at the circumstances around this, here he had this situation I don't think any of us have ever faced, where his brothers wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill his family. And after that, we see that they had to separate for the safety And that began generations of bloodshed between them. And Nephi here, he shows us exactly what I recognize the Lord is encouraging us to do. You know, we find ourselves overwhelmed. We find ourselves questioning. We find ourselves wanting His direction. We don't doubt. We need to look back and recognize where God has blessed us. You know, these aspects of faith where the Lord has blessed us. You know, every time I administer to a little child or to my children, you know, I pray this. You know, I've heard ministry pray it for years. You know, some little child comes up here with a stuffy nose. And, you know, sometimes we can almost think, oh, that's silly. But, you know, what is it? If the Lord blesses them now, they draw back on that blessing for the rest of their life. It's faith. It's a remembrance of the things the Lord has done for them. When you find yourself in these times, draw back on what the Lord has done to you. How do you adhere yourself to the Lord? Well, we have to have faith in His past blessings, that when I attach myself to Him, I screw myself to Him like I did with those pieces of wood, that He blessed me before and He's going to do it again. And so I can trust in Him. I can let my hands off of this. I don't need to go and try to talk to somebody to fix this or try to buy something or whatever it is. The Lord's got it under control. It's faith. I want to turn to Romans in the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read the 18th verse, and then I'm going to jump over to the 24th. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I'll read 19 as well. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, this next important aspect of how we wait on the Lord, how we can do it with surety that He's going to be with us, is hope. And hope and faith are two distinctly different things that go hand in hand, that you cannot have one without the other. And we need to recognize this, that we have great cause for hope. But oftentimes in struggle or trial or when we're waiting for something to come about, our hope that things can be different or that the Lord is working on our behalf, you know, that's one of those things that Satan begins to attack right away. He begins to attack that hope that God cares enough about us to help us through this. The earnest expectation, that hope of the creature. You know, we need to have this earnest expectation that God is working on our behalf. Not this earnest expectation that He's going to make me rich, that He's going to turn every situation around completely, but that He is going to work on my behalf. That I have this hope that there is good that is going to come out of all of these difficulties and trials. You know, the things we suffer through or we handle today, they're nothing compared to what's going to come. We have hope in a salvation, but we need to have hope in the Lord's working in our life as well. Verse 24, for we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Jumping right into that sermon that Stephen preached about being patient. And we find that word again, wait. You know, we hope for those things that we see not. I hope for a solution to the struggle in my life. I hope for my brothers and sisters that I'm praying for. You know, I hope that our sister Amy doesn't have to have another surgery. I hope that our brother Buzz is able to be cancer-free at some point and he can have the transplants that he needs and he's going to have this long and continue to be fruitful life. I hope for all these things, these good things. We have this expectation, we need to have this expectation that God can take every trial we're in and He can move it and use it and turn it for good. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Then what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, some of these things I think that's hard for us to have hope for is that God has a solution for all of these things. But we have to have this hope that mingles with our faith, that God not only is able, but He wants to do good in our life. If He's for us, nothing, no one can be against us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it's written, for thy sake were killed all the day long, were accounted as sheep for the slaughter? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, as we adhere ourselves to the Lord, it needs to be with this hope that He has our best interest. He knows the end from the beginning. He created us with purpose. He recognizes every struggle. And if we're willing to, He's able to make it into something that will bring glory to Him and that will draw us towards Him and draw us towards salvation. We have to have this hope. I don't know if I'm going to read the scripture or not. Let me see here real quick. I don't think I am, but you know, there's a scripture in Moroni, I think it's in chapter 10, that says, you know, if we don't have hope, then we have to be in despair. If we don't have hope for something good, for something better, for God to work on our behalf, then all there is despair. But God gives us hope. We must have it. We must pray for it. We must, you know, sometimes it's hard to see past our own feelings. We can ask the Lord and He can help us through these things. Moroni chapter 7. I'm going to finish with this, and I feel, I don't feel like I've been able to explain very well the experience and the thoughts the Lord put on my heart this week, but hopefully it gives you something to think about and consider and perhaps to open your scriptures and to look at a little bit more. But I want to read this scripture here, Moroni chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 45 through 49. Mormon, he's speaking to his people. He's speaking to his son. He's given these instructions. Again, my beloved brethren, I would speak to you concerning hope. How is it you can attain unto faith, save you shall have hope? And what is it that you shall hope for? You know, we can't hope for salvation if we don't believe there's a God who wants to get us there, or that has done things that He can give us that hope of salvation. Behold, I say unto you that you shall have hope through the atonement of Christ, the power of His resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in Him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, I would say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and his hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. You know, there are these things that have to mingle with our hope and our faith. And that is that we have to have this sense of humility. You know, God cannot work with us when we're proud. My father-in-law likes to talk about that every time he gets up here. God cannot work with our pride. And so if we want God to help us through our trials and our difficulties, we have to be meek, lowly of heart, recognizing who we are and where we are and the need that we have for God. We mingle that with our faith. God can help me through this. And with our hope, He has an end in sight. And in doing those things, we can adhere ourselves to Him. We can attach ourselves to Him so that where He goes, we go. Jeremiah, have you split those two apart yet? Have you even been trying? So you can't, you need a screwdriver to do it. You know, I want us to consider that, you know, the Lord wants us to be like that in every aspect of our life, attached to Him. So that where He goes, what He directs, what He asks, we do it. where He takes us. It's not even that we have to follow. I'm going with Him. You consider these things as you find yourself, you know, this is, the Lord asked me, you know, He asked me this, you know, what does it mean to wait? And I've been thinking about that, you know. My biggest problem is you know, every time, and I'm not asking anybody to not talk to me, but every time somebody asks me about this situation that I'm going through, not necessarily people here, mostly people at work, you know, you begin talking about it, and then you begin trying to figure it out. Because as humans, most of us, we want to try to solve things, don't we? And yet when we solve things, when we try to work our way through these things on our own, you know, we're missing this greater fact that the Lord allows things to happen sometimes to benefit us. I am better spiritually today than I was 3 months ago when all this started. I can't be upset about that. I'm not happy about what's going on, but you know, the Lord has used this opportunity to tell me things and to wake me up and all that, you know. And I guess I could have been fighting Him this entire time, but I'm grateful that He has been patient with me and He's taught me that level of maturity thus far in my life, and I haven't totally accomplished full maturity, but where I'm willing to look to see what He's trying to do in my life. The Lord has a blessing for us. The Lord has an ability to help us through every situation. He wants us to wait on Him. Consider what that means. Consider, are you doing that? And it's not just in trouble or trial. It's in everything that we do. How are you attached to Him? Or are you just there where it looks like you are, but when a little bit of pressure is exerted on you, you come apart? You know, that's really what this tape was. It put it together, but a little bit of pressure, and they came apart. Or are you pierced together? Are you attached permanently to Him? This is our challenge, and I hope that in some way you've been strengthened by this message. And you know, as we go through this week, I recognize fully that every one of us, in one way or another, we're going to find ourselves challenged. And I would consider the fact that the Lord put this on my heart to be a I'll say this the right way. Prophetic, if you will, that we're going to be challenged this week. That you probably are. I probably am. How are we going to handle it? What are we going to do? God bless you.